Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to this presentation, x86, x84, ARM, who cares? The idea behind this presentation is to lead you in the experience of installing remote apps and remote desktop services to be able to run any application on any Windows device. No matter what you have, if you have a Surface RT, if you have a Surface Pro, if you have a very old device that cannot use certain applications, you can still run them using this technology. My name is João Boto. Yeah, I know, tough name, right? It's the Portuguese equivalent to John, but completely unpronounceable in any other languages. So the closest thing I've seen in the US was João. That works. It's pretty much the same sound, but there's a person with a similar name on a popular TV show. I won't mention the name, but yeah, I've been called that too. So I was a Premier Field Engineer in Portugal, covering Europe, Middle East, and Africa for the last 2.5 years, or for the first 2.5 years of my experience at Microsoft. Always doing Windows clients. Then I relocated to the US about 1.5 years ago. So I've been doing this for 4 years. So Portugal is a very, very small country in Europe, right next to Spain. And I love technology. I love snow sports, skiing, snowboarding. I love sailing. And so I decided to relocate to San Francisco. It sounds like a good choice, right? Plus, it's not that different from Lisbon. If you see San Francisco on the left, Lisbon on the right, I'm still at home. Nothing changed much. So, now to the topic that brought us here. Let's talk about remote resources. Let's talk about what we have about this presentation, remote apps, and all we can experience. So, how many of you guys like this? When you see this on your computers, do you feel excited? Not really? Show of hands? No one? Yeah, but that's the experience that many of our users have when they try to open an application that wasn't designed or that isn't prepared for the type of machine that you're trying to run it in. So I've seen so many users pick up a machine that is 10 years old and try to run AutoCAD or try to run a very heavy application to do some 3D rendering or playing some brand new games. It really doesn't work. Plus, how many of you guys have got your Surface RTs? Yeah, almost everyone. Yeah, the other ones, the ones that aren't in this room, are probably down there in the line yet. So, if you've tried your Surface RT, you may have seen this. So, if you try to run an application, like any executable, any application that was designed for the desktop, but not for the RT desktop, what you'll see is this. The application cannot run on your PC. What are you going to do? Are you going to start buying new PCs? Or are you trying to find a transition technology, something that will help you get there? And it's exactly for those transition technologies that I'm here. So one of the idea is when you look at your machines, being it your Surface RT, being it your other machines, your old devices, do you feel that some apps are missing? You see those three gray apps on the right, if it feels like something is missing or something isn't working properly. So you can have multiple options. One of them is you just RDP into a machine and you have access to a whole set of resources. It's definitely a good option. I've used it for a while, actually. I have my Surface RT, I have a VPN connection, I connect to work, I have my machine there, and I can run any application that I want on my server environments. It's pretty cool, right? If you're a geek. It doesn't really work for the normal user. Try to get the CEO of your company to use this type of resources. He may be able to use it, but he won't be very happy with it. So let's try something different. What you want is a technology that just works. So the user will see the applications on his desktop. He clicks it, it works. It just opens the applications, you can run anything. So, what you have is the apps you need that show up. You don't see the data center part, it's transparent to the user. You click it, you open the application, you're ready to execute. So, let's get technical. We saw a little bit of PowerPoint. It's always funny, some animations. Let's get technical and discuss this. So the type of opportunities that you have in terms of remote resources are essentially session-based. And session-based, initially, you probably know remote desktop services, terminal services. That's a well-known name. But then we added some capabilities, and instead of streaming the entire desktop, you can stream individual apps. You can get an individual app on your machine. Also, you have the VDI side, and the VDI side is all about pooled VMs or private VMs. Who around here plays in a band or plays any instruments? Yeah, I can see some people. I don't, but my idea of what it would be if I would play in a band is, let's talk about the private VMs. Start bottom up. So private VMs is like your private club. You play a gig at your club every night. So you get there, everything is set up for you. The next day you come out, you show up, and everything is exactly how you left it. When you talk about pooled VMs, it means that you're on the road. You're playing at different clubs. You have someone that takes your stuff. So you have some roadies, some friends helping, someone that takes your stuff, that takes everything that you need and bring it to the other club, sets it up, but you're playing at different places. And it's exactly the same thing in terms of VMs. So private VM is we create a VM that is just for you. We assign this VM to a person, and only that person will be able to use this VM. When we talk about pooled VMs, it means there's a VM with an operating system running, and then what happens is everyone can pick up this VM. So the VM is there, it's available. Whenever you need a VM, you will get the first one that is available, and it will attach your user profile disk. So it will attach all your data, and it will look like your VM. But if you mess it up, it's going to be a VM that is messed up for other people. In terms of session-based, it happens the same thing. So when you talk about remote desktop sessions, this is mostly like probably a jam session. You go on stage, and you have all the instruments already set up. But if you break a string on your guitar, the next person that is going to play is going to have a broken string on their guitar because it's the same. So it's the exact same example because everything is running out of the same server. You have a server running certain applications, and if your application misbehaves, if your application consumes too much RAM, if your application consumes too much CPU or even crashes, it may affect other users. When we talk about remote desktop sessions, you're just playing by yourself. You don't need all the different guitars, all the different instruments. You just need one thing. So you just need that one thing to work. And if you mess it up, you're just messing up one instrument. You're not messing up the entire band, the entire set that you have on stage. So in terms of improvements, you all know about terminal services. Probably you've been using terminal services since Windows 2000. But many of you, I suspect, the last time that they used terminal services was really with Windows 2000. It happens with many of our customers. So those are the new improvements, the new available resources that we have. First of all, of them all is RemoteFX for WAN. So now you can stream full graphics. You can stream everything, the real experience, 3D. You can experience it all through WAN, over the internet. You can be at home connected to some remote resources at work and still see the entire picture, the entire animations and everything that you have available. In terms of GPU support, in Server 2008 R2, with SP1, we introduced RemoteFX, and what we got there was the ability of using very big graphic cards in a server, so to share you the graphics memory. Here you can also have virtual GPUs if you want. So we can offload it to the processor to do all that kind of heavy lifting. Also, dynamic fair share. Dynamic fair share used to be available only for VMs, and now we have it available also for the session-based deployments. So for terminal services, and for remote apps. Dynamic fair share means that if you have an application consuming too much RAM, if another person is trying to use other applications, you're not going to consume the entire amount of RAM that is available in your box. Everything will be distributed according to the needs of each person. USB redirection. USB redirection is a fantastic technology that I've seen customers, let's say I've seen customers in the healthcare industry that have connected microscopes to devices like a Surface RT, and it seems like the microscope is connected directly to the server in the data center. It's anything that you connect to your USB ports is completely redirected to your server, to your VM, or to your remote session. Seamless experience. So everything integrates, all the start menu, all the experience that you have on your clients will also be available on your server. The idea is to have the exact same interface like I told you. It's not really doing something for geeks, it's doing something that everyone can use. This is just an example of remote FX. So everything is processed separately. The text, the images, the graphics, the sounds, everything is processed separately. So depending on your bandwidth, you may see a very blurry graphic while the text still appears completely, completely clear and very, very fast. So this helps you get all the information that you need very fast and be able to use, like I said, any resource on any machine. It also uses a dynamic codec. So if you want, you can encode all your media on the server side and just stream it to the client side, or do it the other way around. It's very flexible. And with the new remote desktop clients that ships with Windows 8 and that is an update to Windows 7, you're using 10% of the bandwidth that you used before. You're reducing it by 90%. It's an amazing number. It's really, really good to use it over the internet. So when you want to set up such an infrastructure, you always start with Server Manager, right? When you want to deploy something, well, you can go through PowerPoint, but otherwise, you start with Server Manager. Then what you need to do is, from Server Manager, you need to get a remote desktop connection broker. And the remote desktop connection broker is the one that is going to distribute, that is going to tell your farm what server are we going to hit, depending on the loads of each server. Then from the remote desktop connection broker, you're probably going to a remote desktop session host. And session hosts are servers, you can have multiple of those, and you will probably have multiple of those, that are supplying sessions to the users. So supplying sessions means like terminal services. You're supplying a session to a certain user, or you're supplying an application to a certain user. On the other hand, it's the same type of servers, but you can have remote desktop virtualization hosts that are Hyper-V servers that are providing a VDI infrastructure. The entry point for the user can be two things. One of them is a remote desktop gateway. So it means instead of you connecting directly to a certain server, instead of you hitting a specific server on your network, you're hitting a remote desktop gateway. And the remote desktop gateway will just send you to the remote desktop connection broker that will choose the first available or the server with the most available resources. On the other hand, any user from the internet can have access to a remote desktop web access. And in the web access, they have access to the full experience. So they can connect to a web page, and from that web page, they can choose to execute a certain application. All of this will have remote desktop licensing. You can imagine how this works. So this is where the CALs come in. A CAL means a client access license. And a CAL can be a virtual machine, can be a session on the session host. So you load this server, the remote desktop licensing, with licenses, with CALs, and then you can connect to those remote machines. Good news, if you want to test this in your environment, besides being very, very easy, and I will demo it in a second, you have 120 days. So you have 4 months where you don't need any remote desktop licensing, you don't need any licensing at all. As long as you have Server 2012, you just install the roles and you're ready to go. So, demo. Building the infrastructure. Does that sound complicated to build an infrastructure like this? Yeah? No? Show of hands. Who thinks it's tough? Yeah, I can see some. Who thinks it's easy? A few people. Well, let's see how it works. So here we have just a simple server, virtual machine, running on this laptop. So nothing really fancy, nothing really powerful. And what I'm going to do is just add roles and features. If you've ever opened the server manager of Server 2012, what you'll see is, besides the first information, you have role-based or feature-based installation to just install features like you would on any other machine, on any other server version, or you have a remote desktop server installation. Let's try the remote desktop services installation. So here, you have two options. You have a standard deployment, or you have a quick start. Quick start sounds easy, right? Let's try this one. Quick start. You see that almost everything got grayed out? So they're making our life easy. Then, choices are virtual machine based or session based. We talked about remote apps, so why not try the session based one? Server installation. So server installation here is where you explain what servers, because you can include many servers. In Server Manager, you tell Windows what servers will be used for this deployment. So in this case, I'm just choosing the only one that I have available. This is the only server that I'm managing. So all of those roles, and if I go back, I will show you which ones. You see Remote Desktop Connection Broker, Remote Desktop Web Access, and Remote Desktop Session Host. So let me go back to this presentation for a moment. So what you're seeing is the top left corner, you see Remote Desktop Web Access. We're using this, so we're getting there. We're coming in through the web. We're going to the Remote Desktop Connection Broker, and from the Remote Desktop Connection Broker, we're going to a Remote Desktop Session Host. Let's see how this goes. Back into the presentation, Remote Desktop Web Connection Broker, Web Access Session Host, and it says that it will need to restart the server while it's installing. So restart the destination server automatically if it's required, and now you have a button that says deploy. Really? That easy? So first thing that we're doing is we're installing Remote Desktop Services, role services. So role services means the services that we decided to install. So Web Access, Connection Broker, Session Host. We're installing those three services in the same machine. Then what we're going to do, as this is a quick start, Windows is already doing all the work for us. So what it's doing is it's going to create a session collection. A collection is essentially a group. It's like a folder in Windows. You create a collection, that's where you put computers, where you put servers, that's where you send the stuff that you want to publish. And then remote app programs. Just to show off, just for you to have an example, a quick example, this thing will automatically publish remote apps for you. It will put some example apps available for your machines. It's really interesting. It is very fast. But I think I speak faster than this. So any questions at this moment? No? Not any questions? This is boring. Oh, a question there. Okay. So the question is whether Windows 8 already has remote desktop, remote FX, if you can use this. Windows 8 ships out of the box to be used as a client for remote desktop services. Windows 8 cannot be a server, cannot serve this type of components. But on the other hand, have you guys thought why the Server 2012 has the new modern interface, like the tiles and everything? It's exactly because of this type of situations. Because you may have you may want to enable the store. You may want to connect and run new modern apps, Windows 8 store apps. You may want to do all that directly in a server. So the Windows 8 client ships prepared to connect to the infrastructure, but you cannot use it as an infrastructure itself. Did that answer your question? Excellent. Any other questions? Yes. Okay. Well, the question is, which ones of those roles can be virtualized, and which ones will require a lot of resources? So, definitely the ones that should be in physical machines are the remote desktop virtualization host and the session host, because those are the ones that have all the processing power. The connection broker, for instance, it can be virtualized. And in the past, like in server 2008 R2, what you had was that if you wanted to do a high availability cluster there, it was kind of a nightmare, honestly. Right now, you see that SQL database that is represented there? The SQL database means that you just have to add entries to different connection brokers. So what it means is that the remote desktop web access or the remote desktop gateway will connect directly to the database and figure out what are the available gateway, the available connection brokers. So if you want, you can have as many as you want active remote desktop connection brokers. So you can have a whole infrastructure and you can really scale this out. In terms of remote desktop web access, we're going to see this in a minute. This is pure IIS. So it's installing the role of IIS on my machine, and it's pure IIS. It's a website running on your IIS. In terms of the remote desktop gateway, well, you can have it virtualized or not. It's usually used as an edge server for computers to be able to connect to, but it's once again your choice. It depends on what you want to do with your infrastructure. Another question in the back. If they need to be out of the DMZ to function. The remote desktop gateway needs to be accessible from the outside. If you want computers to hit and to be able to connect to your farm, you will need to have access to the remote desktop gateway. On the other hand, the remote desktop web access, if you want to connect to this, you will also have to have an internet connection or connection to your corporate network if you want to publish the website. For the remote desktop gateway, it can use multiple ports. It's exactly the same thing as RDP. So you're using the RDP protocol, but instead of connecting to an individual server, you're connecting to a gateway. You're connecting to a server that has a lot of servers running behind it. So, and that can provide you an experience for all of those four technologies that we talked about pools VMs, private VMs. It can provide you the experience for session host, for remote apps. Everything is in there. So in the meanwhile, my machine is already rebooting. So it should take us probably, I would say, 3 more minutes. Don't quote me on that, please. Any more questions in the meanwhile? Nope, we're good. So it's time to log into this machine. Now. Remember, this is a VM. So if you're deploying this in a physical server, it will probably take a lot less time. It's even faster. Like this. From my timings, the ones that I'm counting on for this demo and for this specific session, it's taking about 10 minutes to complete the full quick deployment. So not that bad, right? After 10 minutes, you'll see that we're able to connect to this environment, that we're able to run machines on it. So server is coming up. It's still starting services. There are some services that are set to delayed start. So it's going to start the services and continue the deployment. We've already installed all the roles. So all we need to do, first of all, do you see that little pop-up down there on the lower right corner? I'm sure you cannot read it unless you have better vision than I have. But what it says is that remote desktop licensing is not configured. And it says that you have your own experience for 120 days. So you have those 4 months of free usage until you have to activate some licenses. And it's configuring the remote desktop services role services. And then we're going to the session collection. So it's just going to create the simple collection. Well, simple and sample collection. And then it's going to publish 3 remote apps. The 3 remote apps that it will publish are the simplest ones that you can imagine. So it's going to publish WordPath, it's going to publish Paint, and it's going to publish the calculator. So 3 very useful apps to run on remote machines. So publishing and done. How hard was this? Anyone? So raise of hands. Who thinks this was hard? Lengthy? No? No one? Really? So it even gives you the feed. And the feed says, this server is called Remote Resources. My domain is called JS Boto, so my own name, dash RDWeb, Remote Desktop Web. So this feed is already available. And it even gives you a hyperlink here. So let's just see if this works with another machine, just a regular Windows 8 client that is on the same domain. So what was the feed again? So HTTPS, remoteresources.jsboto.com/rdweb. Let's see if this opens something, anything. Surprise. You know what it's trying to do right now, right? It's trying to detect a certificate. It's trying to see whether this is a trusted web page or not, since I'm using HTTPS. And apparently, it's not. So let's do the not recommended option of continuing. So try to use it without the right certificates. And what you'll see, as soon as it opens the web page, it will open. Plus, this VM doesn't have internet connection, so it's even slower to verify the certificates. So what you see, this is the entry point for remote desktop web access. This is just, it shows you work resources. Work resources is simply the name of the collection. So it says remote app and desktop connection. So let's connect to this thing and open it for this user. Sign in. Here you go. Calculator, Paint, and WordPath. And if I want to open one of these applications, let's open Paint. I just click here. And no. Okay. So it opens this application. Usually it opens automatically. Usually what we do is we add this site to the trusted site list of Internet Explorer. So it opens automatically. You open this, password again. Only for the first time. So now it's connecting to a remote app. Remember, this app isn't installed at all in this machine. All we have is the RDP connection. So we're connecting to a server, but instead of connecting to the full server infrastructure, we're just connecting to this specific app. So this app should be opening soon, and here you have Paint. And it looks exactly, so it says connected to remote and desktop connections, a remote app and desktop connections. But besides this, it's an app like anything else. Like, let me minimize it. Does it look like a remote resource app? Does it look any different than the apps that you know? It's, I can draw on this, I can save files locally, so I can do my own drawings. You can see how skilled I am at drawing. So I can save this as, I can save it to my desktop. And it should be saved. Also, what you see is that in terms of differences, from this to the main application, to other applications, the only big difference is that when you look at the icons, and sorry that it's showing up a little bit small, I can open Zoom it and show it to you in a different way. So let me open, not in this machine. So okay. So let's show you this thing. The only difference that you will see is that it has a small icon showing that it's a remote connection. It's not a local app, but the only difference that you'll see is that small icon. The icon of the application is exactly the same. Everything is exactly the same, except you see that little overlay. So let's try something different here. So we talked about the innovations. So what do we have in terms of remote apps specifically? Because remote apps already existed on Server 2008 R2. So what do we have as new? In Windows 7, we could pin remote apps to the desktop, so it looks exactly like an app that is locally installed. You could have the jump lists, you know that thing, right-clicking an app and it shows you a specific menu. It works on the remote apps too. You could see progress states, so when an application, let's say that you're doing a file copy and you see the icon just having a green overlay that shows you the progress, you could have that over remote apps too. On Windows 8 plus Server 2012, what you have is now you have the true application icon. You didn't have that in the past. So some users would get confused because you would see the remote desktop icon instead of seeing the application icon. Plus, you have tabbed windows. So you can have multiple windows and use tabs just as normally. It's really an experience like having the application locally installed. So the next one is, we talked about publishing the remote app. Let's see how it works exactly. So if I go back to the server, and let me switch this back. I told you that there were some remote desktop services and there were some collections involved. So if I click the remote desktop services, first thing is I see what servers are responsible for this. I can see the servers that are available. This is something that is common in Server 2012 and Server Manager. So for any service, if you open IIS or if you open the DHCP server, you see a similar page. Then you have collections, and you can see that this is the Quick Sessions collection. Resource type, remote apps. So this is very simple. You have the tasks up here, and if you want, you can create a new session collection. New session collection, next, you name it however you want. Remember, those are folders. Those are essentially folders where you drop everything. And so let's call this one Tech Ed. Next, what is the session host that you're going to use? In this case, I only have one session host, and it's already being used by the other collection, so I don't really have the option to re-add it. But if I would delete that collection, I could add another one. Okay, let's not finish this. What you see on the other side is you see the connections. So you can have, in this view, you can see immediately what machines are connected to this collection. So in this case, you see that we have two connections from the same machine, from the same Windows 8 client machine. And like I said, that can be a Windows 8 client, but it can be a Windows 7, it can be a Surface RT. Any machine can connect to that feed and have the exact same experience. And here, what I can do is, if I want, I can send a message to the user saying, you've been using it for too long, just stop using this collection, or I can disconnect or log off the user if I want. So I can do all those kinds of things. If I drill down into the collection itself, it couldn't be easier. So you look at this and you see remote apps programs, and you see calculator, paint, and word path. Let's unpublish those. Unpublish, tasks, unpublish. You choose which ones you want to unpublish. Next, unpublish. And this is done. It's very, very easy. So now it says, and this is full of hyperlinks. It's really, really easy to do. So here you see remote desktop is published for the users of the collection. And it says, publishing remote app programs will unpublish the remote desktop. OK, let's see what this means. What this means is now we don't have any remote apps. So the only option that the user has is to connect to the entire server, like before, do terminal services. So if I go back to my user, what I'll see, and yes, of course, I close the clients. So if I go back to my user, let's get this in full screen. I get back to my user, and let's refresh this web page. Still trying to check for certificates. So if I refresh this, what you will see is a connection to a remote desktop client, just like regular RDP connection, but much easier. So you see, quick session, double click this, you're in the server. It's not really an application that is published. First of all, let me add this to the trusted sites, by the way. So security, trusted sites, yeah. Okay. So in the server, let's publish something else. We saw unpublishing, so now let's see publishing. Publish remote apps. What can we have? Like, we have the full list of the applications that we have installed. Outlook. Do you miss Outlook? The ones of you that have Surface RTs? Yes, OK. So let's publish Outlook. This is a common case. So it was next. The next option that you have is really publish. It's and the only thing that I've done before is I had Office installed on this server. I didn't have to do any specific configuration, prepare anything for remote apps. It's just choose this application, click publish. And then you can have some options. So it's visible immediately. So if I go back to the client machine, you should be able to see. Oh, yeah, I changed the permissions. If I go back to the client machine, you should already see Outlook available. Plus, while this thing loads, let's look at the properties. So I right-click and click Edit Properties. So Edit Properties, remote app name. Of course, you can name it whatever you want. Alias, if you want to give an alias for this. Show the remote app program in remote desktop web access. Do you want to show it available through the internet in your remote desktop web access or not? I'll show you which other options you have to connect to remote apps from your machines. And then you can choose to create folders. So if you want, in the web interface, you can create separate folders for different applications. Other things, you can have parameters. If you want to start this application with specific parameters, you can choose any command line parameters, use the following, so you just choose it. So if you choose any, what will happen is that the user can execute the application directly on his machine using his own chosen parameters. Also, user assignments. So if you want, if you have certain applications, if you have, let's say, AutoCAD, we have people running AutoCAD through this system. So if you have one of those pieces of software that are very expensive to license, you probably want to give it only for some users. You probably want to give it only to the architects, to people that need it. So you can specify users and groups of users that you want them to have. Also, what you can do is you can have file association. So when you publish this application, you can say that any calendar events or any messages will be handled by this remote application. Like I said, it's just like the native installation experience. So click OK. It's saving my settings. Done. And let's see whether the client machine is already ready for us. Continue to this website again. Unfortunately, this part isn't very dynamic, but I will show you how to install the certificates in a moment. So, logging in. Let's keep logged in. And here you see Outlook. So it's as easy as this. You can change the menu. You can change the restaurant menu that you give to your users. You can change the list of the applications that you provide to them very, very easily. Question? So the question was, if you can run full Outlook version on RT by using this method. The answer is yes. And the answer is yes because Outlook isn't running on your RT device. Your RT device is connecting to your Outlook application that is running somewhere else on the server. And the server does support this type of application. Actually, the limitation on the applications that you cannot use with this scenario is only the applications that cannot be installed on the server. Because otherwise, any application that can be installed can run. So the question is, how does it handle multiple user sessions? If one person logs in and creates a profile, how does it handle for another person? The answer is, you're creating sessions on the server. So this is the same thing as logging into the server with different users. So if you log into your machine with different users, even though you have only one copy of Outlook installed, you will have different profiles completely isolated from each other. Another question? Yes? Mm-hmm. The question is, we talked about file association. And if I, for instance, publish Notepad, and there's already a native copy of Notepad installed, how will Windows handle it? So was that the question? MS Word. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now I understand the question. So the question now is, if you have, let's say, Word, you don't have it installed locally. You only have a remote app. And you have the file association of any Word document it's associated with that remote app. So when you double-click a Word document, how does it detect what server it should go to? That server or that handling is all done by the connection broker. The connection broker will transparently decide where to send you to. You don't have to worry about this. It's completely transparent to the user. So your machine will only have connection to RD Web, so the remote desktop web page, or to the remote desktop gateway. You won't need to figure out what server. You're always connecting to the same server that is just the gateway that forwards your request to the right server. Another question? Sure. Okay. So the question here is about cross-platform. It's about when you have Macs in your environment, when you have different machines. This is a technology to be used on Windows devices. Unfortunately, we don't leverage this in different platforms. If you want to do that, it's perfectly possible because the Citrix technology is exactly like this. So the Citrix technology has exactly those benefits. So you can use it on many different platforms, even iPads and Macs and every other kind of technology. Also, Citrix provides you some other connection benefits, like throttling down the USB redirection or other examples of network configuration. So this is something that you have already on your servers. All you have to do is get the license. In a Citrix environment, you will be able to scale it to different scenarios. Another question in the back. Yes. Yes. So the question was, you can have multiple users using an Outlook application on a server, and the question was about licensing. Honestly, I always try to get away from licensing. I'm an engineer, I'm a proper geek. So I always try, whenever someone asks me, I'm a Premierfield engineer, so I visit customers, I give them support. Whenever they ask me, I just send the question to someone else. It's like, talk to your account manager. This guy is the better suited to answer, but yes. So I'm not the right person to talk about licensing, but yes, of course, you have to be within the licenses. So now the question is, at the end of the day, you're not running an entire company, 20 people, from one copy of Outlook. The answer is yes, you can do that, as long as you have the right licensing in place. Okay, yes, concurrent licensing, time slices, it makes sense. Honestly, I have no idea about that. Sorry for that. Yes, for me it's a black magic. They just put some numbers in and some numbers come out. It's like black box. Question? Oh my God, another licensing question. So this is whether the licensing is any different from 2008. So if it has to query the remote desktop licensing server and identify whether a license is available to be used, yes. This one is exactly like that. This one hasn't changed since 2008. It's really every time you ask for a VM or ask for an app or ask for a session, it will contact the licensing server and make sure that you have a license available to use that application or virtual machine. Question there? How do you set up the load balancing for your session hosts? Actually, the load balancing for your session hosts, it's part of the connection broker, and it will do the load balancing automatically based on the resources that are available on each one of the servers. It's very transparent. You can go down in detail and something that I haven't showed you. So the question was now, how do you configure it in the console? So here you can see all the different servers that you have available, and adding one more server is just pressing the plus button. And then you can configure high availability and drill down into specific servers and look at some additional tasks when adding the servers. Then you drill down into the servers themselves, and you can make further configurations. Let's take this detail offline if you don't mind. I'll be here at the end of the session. There was another question? In terms of load balancing, You have that choice, but honestly, it will do his math, but you have the choice to say, well, this server will have a higher priority over this one. It's not a very trimmed down thing. Let's put it this way. Okay, so the question was related to Internet Explorer compatibility. So this company is using IE8, and they want to start trying IE10 by leveraging this technology, by streaming IE10 from a server. That is perfectly possible. On the other hand, if you install IE10 on your machines and want to supply IE8 through this technology to your users, you're probably not going to succeed, because you cannot really install IE8 on server 2012. By default, you have IE10, and unless you can find a way of installing IE8 on your server, you cannot really stream it back to your workstations. That's an excellent question. I've honestly never tried. The question was whether you can add a 2008 R2 server to this farm. I suppose you can for the session hosts and for the virtualization hosts, but honestly, I've never tried. But if you leave me your contact, I can get back to you on that one. So the next step that I wanted to do was to let's configure some certificates. We've been having too many prompts, so let's configure some certificates. Right now, I'm within IIS, and the certificate that it was complaining about was really the IIS certificate. So all I have to do is I have to go to the server certificates, and I already created a certificate request. I already have my certificates, my certificate that I got from there. So let's get certs for this domain, and what I want is this one. So remote resources certificates. So hopefully I won't have any problem. I also have to deploy a certificate to the machine, of course. So you have to have the certificate on the machine and the certificate on the IIS side. And what happens is if they match, it won't tell you that the web page is not secure. But if you're already running IIS for your internal or external secure web pages, you will already have done this part, so you don't have to worry about it. In this case, I'm finishing the certificate because then when I have the right certificates imported, I can show you an additional deployment method. So instead of forcing the users to go through the remote desktop web access to the web page, we can further simplify it. We can really take it to a next level. So certificates going. This always takes a little bit. Hopefully not that much. And in the meanwhile, let me tell you what are our other options. So once I have the certificates, I have all of these different methods available to me. Only the last one will need an additional configuration. All the others, you can connect through a remote desktop client. So if you want, if you have a remote desktop gateway, you can use your RDP clients, either the new modern app, the new Windows 8 app, to connect to your gateway and have access to all of these resources. And you'll see it in exactly the same way. So you'll see the different options that you have, the different feeds, the different options within the same feed, like remote apps and the desktops that you have available. On the other hand, you have RD Web Access. That's the one that I demoed. That's the one that we just saw. You have remote app and desktop connections. This is a control panel item. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. There's a control panel item since Windows 7 that says remote app and desktop connections. All you have to do in that control panel item is point it to the remote desktop web access web page. You just put the web page there, just exactly the same thing that we did, but you put it in the control panel. Then you can set up the default feed by group policy. That's the option that most of our customers take. So if you want to publish Outlook for all of your machines or for certain users, and we already saw how to specify certain users that are going to use this. And then the last one that is brand new is by email address. So by email address, what you can have is your users open a remote desktop, either the new app, the Windows 8 app, or the old app. They put in their email address, and they get immediately the feed that is available to them. For that, the only thing that you need to do is put a small record on your DNS server. So in the meanwhile, licensing is pretty much done. So we already have the license available. So now let's go to the default website and just edit the bindings. Say that HTTPS is going to use the host name remote resources. So it's going to use this remote resources website and the SSL certificate. If I've done it correctly, the certificate is not trusted. No. So I haven't done it correctly. This machine. So if I had done it correctly, this certificate would be shown as trusted. That is the question. Do you mind if I take this the easy way out? This certificate isn't exactly my strong suit. So what I'm going to do is just apply a different snapshot of this VM where the certificate is correctly installed, and then we can see the rest happening, because otherwise this last portion of my demo would be kind of compromised. So after a few seconds, restoring succeeded. Okay, have the server with a certificate. Let's see if this thing works already. Troubleshooting certificates is still a nightmare for me. after so many years working with Windows clients, and especially when you're trying to create your own. And by the way, while this thing verifies the certificates, what I can tell you also is that when you open the remote desktop services, you can look at the collections and, view full screen. So, when you view the collections, someone's making construction work out there. So if you edit the deployment properties, you also have the option to deploy certificates directly for the remote apps and for the connection broker. So if you have specific certificates that you've created for the apps and for the remote resources, you can use them from here. Let's look at the Windows clients. Yes. Now it's showing as trusted. As you can see, there's the locker up there. Well, not sure if you can see, but you will be able to in just a moment. So now you can see the locker. You can see that it's trusted. When it's trusted, it changes quite a bit, because you can now use that control panel applet that I told you about. Otherwise, you couldn't. And the other thing that you can do is deploy some group policies. So let's try it through group policies. I have a domain controller here that is the domain controller of my domain. Let's open the group policy management. And I have the remote app users. And for this remote app users OU, what I'm going to do is create a group policy. And let's say feed, calling it feed to make it easy. In terms of feed, what I want to publish this feed for is for certain users, not for the entire computer. So let's look at policies, administrative templates. Let's look at the system. And here you should have redirection, group policy, Windows host. And here. Not system, Windows components, of course. Was looking for it at the wrong place. Remote desktop services, remote app and desktop connections. And the only option that I have is specify default connection URL. Let's double click this one. So when you specify the default connection URL, you even have here an example. And the example is HTTP. Wakwakontoso.com rdwebfeed.aspx. So let's just cheat for this. Grab this portion, copy it into here, and instead of contoso.com, let's put it remote resources.jsboto. And another thing that we can do is HTTPS, because we are using HTTPS in our case. So group policy is configured. Very simple, very fast. Let's refresh the group policy. Updating the policy. Hopefully in a moment, computer policy, done. User policy, done. So if the demo gods are with me, in a few seconds, you should be able to see Outlook published here. Let me just make sure that the group policy was really, really applied. So users, admin, desktop, and GP results. Just making sure that this was really applied already. So, defaults, policy denied. I don't see this policy here yet, and that's obviously why it wasn't working. Let me just double check one more thing. Just making sure that this user is really part of that, OU, because otherwise, it would not work. Applying a GPO to an OU that doesn't contain that user. Yes. Okay. So that's it. So let's move admin to this OU very easily and go back to the Windows clients. Let's force the GP updates. And I can see the quick session, but Outlook should be published. Of course. Sorry for this. So you guys see what happened? I reverted back to a snapshot, and I didn't have Outlook published on this snapshot. Sorry. It's not really a demo if everything works, right? Or at least I like to use that excuse. If everything worked, that would be delivering the keynotes, not a breakout session. Okay. So let's update the feed. Exactly. So you have, in the Citrix world, you have an additional component that is the Citrix receiver. So the Citrix receiver works pretty much like the remote desktop client works in this scenario. In a Citrix world, sorry, I didn't understand. Yes. So the question was whether in this world, in the remote app world, for the feed to work, it has to be published through remote the feed. And yes, that it's exactly the case. But once again, you can connect to the feed through the control panel. So this would take a bit to refresh. So let's use the backup plan once again, if you don't mind. So it has you can configure within the remote app connections how often do they refresh the feed. So in this case, we would have to wait for some time for it to refresh. So it's probably easier to just open this. By the way, I'm signed in as user, and I want to be signed in as admin. Nice. So, in the meanwhile, trivia question. Do you guys know, anyone can tell me what the machine is doing right now? Loading the profile. It's good enough. Teaching you to use Windows 8, true. Very important. It's actually installing apps. So, all the applications that you see on your start screen, they're actually provisioned in the operating system. It's like having the source files in the operating system. And for each new user that logs into the machine, it must install those applications because they are just provisioned at this moment. So what we're doing right now was provisioning the applications, installing the application, sorry. So let's change the resolution once again. So in this machine, yeah, nice. Okay, keep changes. So let's update the group policies on this one too. By the way, like I said, to have this feed be published on the start screen, what you have to do is you have to have a trusted IIS server. So if you don't have the certificate correctly installed, like I didn't have before, you can connect to the applications through the web interface, but you cannot really publish it automatically. And why doesn't it like it? Do I have connection at all? So the question is whether there are any additional considerations in regards to what you had to consider in 2008 R2 when setting up profiles. No, absolutely not. It's just a standard user profile, like always. It will actually depend on the interface that you want to give to the users, because this is a very nice option to be able to publish remote apps. But many people still prefer to connect directly to the server to do traditional terminal services. So it's completely up to you what you want to have there available for the users. So did this connect? Yes. So this has a connection. And the group policy, hopefully two. This is just to have some more emotion, you know? I have 3 minutes to finish my presentation and just trying to use every last second of it. So let's... Blaming it on the network is actually a good idea. But no, it's internal to VMs. It's tougher. It's tougher to pull it off. I've seen it, but not as good. Just looking at the group policies that are being applied once again, make sure that we have the right group policies being applied. They should, but you never know. Okay, so the default feed is right here. So this is exactly the feed that we wanted to publish. And let me show you. So it says specify default connection URL, remote resources, JS Boto, RD web feed, and webfeed.aspx. I think that I haven't spelled it wrong. Let's just... Well, you already saw the feed being published, so let's try the different option. Let's try one more. So I told you that you could do that from the control panel. You have an option here that says simply remote app and desktop connections. So you choose this one, and it says, well, it shows that it's already connected to the feed. Okay, programs available one, but wasn't published. It automatically pins it to the start menu. But it's actually a good tip. Let's see. Oh, yeah. It is here. So once again, the user can have his option to open it from here. But it should be automatically pinned. Let me just do one more change in the last 30 seconds that we have. So edit properties. I didn't do any file type associations this time. Everyone running to do the evals already. So you have the regular Outlook setup. So no email account, let's not configure this. Use Outlook without the default email account. And we have Outlook just starting. This is actually happening on the server. So this application that you're seeing here is actually running on the server. All you have is a connection to this. But once again, you can read your email, you can do all of this, and plus, if this thing is actually, okay, if this thing is actually published as it should, so if I had done the file association before publishing, it would be okay. Otherwise, I still don't have the file association. The file association will be automatically there if you publish the application, and the application, when you get it through the feed, it already has the file association configured. So our time is up. Thank you very much, everyone, for attending. Don't forget to do your evals. Let me know what I can do better. Just there are some more tracks, some more sessions in our track, and I will be downstairs in the Windows to Go mobility stand very often. So if you want to take some questions offline, I'll still stay here for a while.